In recent weeks, we have been looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he addresses many practical issues. And Jesus is going beneath the surface of these issues and getting to the root problem that lies behind them. You know, Jesus would say, "You have heard that it was said," and then he would either quote the law of Moses or the way the Pharisees had interpreted the law of Moses. And then, having quoted that, Jesus says, "But I say unto you," and then he would tell them what he had to say. Jesus was not revising the law or rewriting the law. He was going to the very heart of the law and dealing with the root issues people have, and simply not just with the outward effects. So when Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not murder," which is the first statement that we looked at a number of weeks ago, murder was the effect. But Jesus said, if you are angry with your brother, deal with that, because that is the real problem. When Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, you must not commit adultery," that was the effect. But then Jesus went on to say, if you look at a woman and lust after her, that is the real problem, and you are already guilty of adultery. One is external, the other is internal. One is about the act, the other is about the real root issue. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not about changing our behavior and what we do. That is the fruit of the gospel. The gospel is first and foremost about changing our heart attitude. And today we come to Jesus' next statement, which comes to us in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 33, and we read, "Again, you have heard that it was said to people long ago, 'Do not break your oath, but keep your oaths you have made to the Lord.' But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." Jesus' sermon is all about the Christian life is to be different from that of the world at large. You know, every issue Jesus brought up was to set his people apart from the rest of the world. We're to handle anger differently. We're to treat sex differently. We're to approach marriage differently. And all these issues are not simply that we're to be more disciplined than other folk, but rather we have a different resource, which comes from the indwelling presence of the Spirit of Jesus Christ in us. This is what equips us to live differently. This is what the gospel is all about. Now, today we come to another issue, which relates very closely to the ones that we've already covered, and it is the issue of the Christian and the truth. Truth is a foundational element on which the Christian life stands. The issue of telling the truth, letting your yes be yes and your no be no, is actually the core issue that is behind what Jesus already talked about in the earlier verses. Adultery is about breaking your word. Having said to your spouse, "I will forsake all others," you do not forsake all others. You do not keep your word. You know, and if this door is closed and bolted shut in your life, that you stand on your word, a lot of these issues will not be a problem because your word has already determined that. But if the door is left ajar just a little bit, you'll be faced with temptation over and over and over again. You know, divorce is another thing Jesus talked about, which is all about breaking your word, because the commitment you made at marriage is until death do you part. Your yes did not mean yes, and your no did not mean no. So when Jesus moves on to speak about truth and speaking truthfully, he goes to the very heart of so many other issues in our lives, which come out of that root character of honesty and truthfulness and integrity. So our first point is truth in communication. You know, communication is an essential part of life. We live in a day that is unsurpassed in the amount of communication that we deal with. We live in an age of information technology. We have 24-hour access to whatever we want. It wasn't that many years ago that wasn't the case. We are constantly being bombarded with information. And as a result today, the media speak in terms of sound bites and tweets, which are things that can be picked up in news broadcasts that won't take more than 20 or 30 seconds to report. There are people today whose profession is known as spin doctors. These people are not concerned about the accuracy of what they are communicating. They're concerned about the effect of what is communicated. Truth has become a very fluid commodity in this process. And we see that virtually every day coming out of our very own Canadian government. This is the world in which we live. The Bible has a lot to say about the tongue. In Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, "The tongue has the power of life and death." With your tongue, you can make people laugh or you can make people cry. You can encourage people or you can discourage people. You can build people up or you can tear people down. You can commend people or you can condemn people. You can refresh people or you can intimidate people, all by your tongue, all by the words that you say. You know, words can build a marriage and words can destroy a marriage. Words can develop a friendship or words can break a friendship. Words are powerful. Situations are either turned around or completely destroyed just by the use of a few words. What did our text say? In Matthew 5 and verse 33, Jesus said, "Again, you have heard that it was said to me, to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king." You know, there are people who have taken this prohibition on taking oaths in courtrooms and not doing that in courtrooms, or putting their hand on a Bible when taking an oath. And the church that I became a Christian in and really grew up in the Lord, there were many Christians in that church that had that very viewpoint. But you know, I have come to doubt that that was the intention of what Jesus was saying here. For you know, God himself made oaths. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 16 or 17, we read, "Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath." That was in a conversation that God was having with Abraham, after Abraham had been willing to offer his son as a sacrifice. But God held him back from doing that. And God said to Abraham in Genesis 22 and verse 16, he said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore." God made an oath with Abraham. And actually, if you go through the Old Testament, many of the Old Testament saints made oaths, and you read about them. In the New Testament, we have the Apostle Paul. He took oaths, and you can read those in Romans chapter 9 or 2 Corinthians and chapter 1 or in Galatians chapter 1. You know, I believe that the point that Jesus is making in his sermon is that oath-taking is not the only time that you are to tell the truth. You should not need to take an oath in order to be believed. You need to be believed because you speak the truth, period. That your yes means yes and your no means no. And the reason why I say this is important is because anything beyond this actually comes from the devil. Which now brings us to the second point, which is truth in character. We've had truth in communication, and now truth in character. Jesus says, if you're not telling the truth, that means your yes doesn't mean yes and your no doesn't mean no. The measure to which you tell the truth is probably the most important thing about you. The truthfulness of what you say derives from your character, which is either it is true or it is corrupt. In John 8:44, Jesus said, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus says, lying is the devil's native language. In other words, it's his mother tongue. That is what the devil does. He lies. You know, I find it interesting that Jesus said that. For whenever the devil speaks in the Bible, which is not all that often, but when he does speak, he actually never tells an outright lie. Though lying is the devil's mother tongue, he does so very subtly. And the way he does it is often by asking questions designed to lead to deception. So, for example, in Genesis chapter 3 in the Garden of Eden, he came to Eve and he said to her, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Now, he was not affirming anything. He was just asking a question. Did God say to you that not to eat of any tree in the garden? Now, God didn't say any such thing. What God actually said, we can read in Genesis 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, and you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. But this innocent sounding question is packed with deception. You know, when Satan appeared in the wilderness and spoke to Jesus and tempted Jesus three times, each of his temptations began with, if you are the Son of God. He didn't say he wasn't the Son of God, but it is throwing that challenge out there. Lying is the devil's nature, to be asking questions that carry implications, that question someone's character. Lies are usually a cover-up for corruption. You know, for example, in the Bible, Cain was the first we read about to lie. Having killed his brother Abel, he was asked, where is your brother? And he said, I don't know where he is. Am I my brother's keeper? Yet he had actually just buried him, but he tries to lie to cover up the fact that he had just killed him. Abraham lied to Pharaoh about his wife. Jacob disguised himself as his brother and lied to his father, Isaac. David lied after his adultery with Bathsheba. In the New Testament, we have Ananias and Sapphira agreed to lie to the church in Jerusalem about the amount of money they received for a piece of land that they sold. And they were given the impression that they were being far more generous than what they really were. Lying is the native language of a corrupt heart and is the symptom of something that is much, much, much deeper. Proverbs 6:16 tells us, that God hates lying. We read there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. And as you read down that list, two of the seven things listed there have to do with lying, a lying tongue and a false witness who pours out lies. Proverbs 12:22 says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. You know, as we go back to our text in Matthew 5 and verse 37, Jesus says simply, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. For when you lie, you are actually speaking the native language of hell. Satan is the father of lies, and lying is his native language. You know, in contrast to that, God's native language is truth. God is the God of truth. Revelation 15:3 says, "The angel sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages." Just and true. You know, in John chapter 1 and verse 17, John describes Jesus in his incarnation when he became man. And he says there, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." And of course, we have Jesus' words recorded for us in John 14:6, where Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is more than God simply being true. This is God being truth. It is his nature, and truth is his native language. And as we are brought into a relationship with God and his purpose in our lives, his indwelling spirit will make us like himself. One of the evidences that is working out of our lives is that we're going to be true to things that happen. We're going to be true in our character. We're going to be true in our communication. And this now leads us on to the third thing, truth and commitment. Our commitment to God involves a commitment to truth, to be true. This is to be a foundational element in our life, that we are men and women who are true. Your yes must be yes, and your no must be no. Jesus says, because anything beyond that comes from the evil one. To not be true actually gives the devil a toehold, a foothold into our lives. And if we are one who has allowed the Lord Jesus Christ into our life and his indwelling us, then his truth is in us. The truth of who Christ is lives within our lives. And we will express through our lives the truth. And it will impact our family life, our neighborhood relationships, our work, our business. It will impact everything we do. We will be true. You know, as we close, let me ask, what is your native language? What is your default position? Is it deception or is it truth? Is there deception in your marriage? Is there deception in your work? Is there deception in your relationships? Or is there deception with your children? Are you allowing the poison of deception to seep into your heart and into the root of your character, of who you are? Anything that not is not yes means yes and no means no comes from the evil one. Do you need to come in repentance and say, "Lord Jesus, forgive me, cleanse me. God, put this right in my life and help me to tell the truth to people that I have been deceiving." You know, as a Christian, this is probably the most important thing about you, that your character is one of truth. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as your word is truth, and you are the way, the truth, and the life, I pray our communication and character and commitment will always be in truth. For I pray it, Lord, in your name. Amen.